Welcome into this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. I'm Jessica Cootie, and a special one for you today. We've got the quarterback, Dylan Raiola. Your first time in the studio.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot. I don't know how people manage to press all these buttons and make sure things are going the right way.
This is how we get you guys on the air.
I know. This makes us look good, apparently.
You were saying you might start your own podcast someday.
Yeah, I might have to. It's pretty intriguing. I mean, Coach Rule's got his house rules now. So, I mean, maybe I'll jump on that one. I might hop on Bussin' with the Boys, and I might have to create my own.
It's pretty cool up here, though, right? I mean, everything you want in this area.
It's great. I mean, it's a one-stop shop to get everything you need. And, yeah, it's sweet.
Awesome. Well, how are you feeling going into week three now here?
I feel good. The body feels good. Kind of all the hours of recovery is starting to pay off, so... it's just making sure everything, all the details are fine-tuned and the guys are ready to go this week.
So you turn on the film from the Akron game.
Yeah.
What'd you like?
I liked the amount of points and the yards we put up. It was cool to just see guys playing free and having fun. And I think when you can kind of cut the guys loose and just let them play, and they're pretty hard to stop. So it was fun, to say the least. And then, you know, obviously my favorite part was the light show. Malcolm got some love, so it was a special night.
20 straight completions, which is the program record. Did you realize that you had 20 straight?
I didn't. I was just trying to get the ball in play and let my guys make guys miss.
You know, just the way that this offense has been the first couple of weeks, and building off of what you were able to do last year. How do you feel different through two games where you're at right now compared to where you were a year ago?
Yeah, I think we spent so much time detailing up the routes and the plays and kind of what we're looking for to get accomplished in those plays this offseason. And Hogue's done a great job of calling it, and the guy's done a great job executing. And I think when you just execute the plays and you kind of go out there and, you know, just make routine plays like he says, and it's pretty simple, but, you know, if you don't, it becomes hard and you find yourself, you know, behind the chains. And so, you know, we have goals and guys are aware of them, which I think, you know, ups the sense of urgency, like, yo, we need to make sure this is right so that we can hit those goals. And if we hit those goals, we have a good shot of winning. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's about winning. And, you know, when we win, it looks good. And if you lose, you look terrible. So we just want to stay in the win column.
You know, the routine play part of it, how does that resonate with you? Why does that click with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, you start, hopefully get it first and 10 every time, and you basically just try to move the chains, and, you know, we believe in two first downs, you're off and running. So you get the first one and then you get the second one, and normally you catch the defense on their heels. But, you know, staying in front of chains, like I said, it helps because, you know, it goes from, all right, we can only call these plays on second and long to he can call whatever he wants. We can go get the first down. We can push the ball down the field, or we can just throw another little something to get the first down. So there's a bunch of different ways we like to attack teams, and I think throughout the week we kind of find those weaknesses and we go after them.
Not just for you, but for everybody on the offense, was that something you had to switch your mindset to think like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or you just simplify it, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was hard. Like, you go from high school to college, and high school you can just bomb everybody and air it out. Like, it's like the backyard having fun. But, you know, I think after the first year I learned that you're not going to beat people going deep every time, and you have to kind of methodically go down the field and do those simple things to, you know, kind of get, you know, positive plays and positive results. And, you know, I think our guys have done a great job of that, and you know, we continue to keep focusing on those details and the process that helps us get those results.
You hit 9 different receivers against Cincinnati. You threw 4 different touchdown passes to 4 different guys and spread the ball around. What's that process like for you to get to where you are comfortable in throwing the ball to so many different people?
Yeah, no, I call it spreading the love. And, you know, this offense, I think the ball finds the receiver. And, you know, actually when I was meeting with Dane on his recruiting visit to come here, you know, he was talking about, you know, who gets the touches and who gets the ball. And I'm like, yo, the ball's going to find you. And if you need a touch, Hogue's going to get a play called and get you a touch, right? So, you know, I honestly don't even realize I throw it to those guys, like, that many different receivers. But, you know, when they come in the game, it's like, all right, this is the play call. This is where I want to go with the football. And it doesn't matter who's out there because everyone's held to the same standard. Everyone, you know, is trained the same way. So that just gives me confidence to know that, all right, if I get this look, I'm going to throw it here. And if he's covered, I can reset back to whoever I need to. But it's not really he's in, so I can't throw it to him, which is a great feeling as a quarterback.
You know, that being said, you've spent a lot of time with mm-hmm. a lot of these guys in the yeah. offseason. How much does that translate mm-hmm. when you kind of built something outside of it? That yeah. is there a different kind of feeling when you throw the ball to them?
Yeah, I think it carries over tremendously. You know, did a trip to Texas in the offseason in May with about 8 guys. And then, you know, we came back and had all summer together. And we spent a lot of time just doing, you know, just walk through stuff and routes and – and, you know, the guys just understand that, you know, when it's time to go and trying to run routes, like, we're going to run. But, you know, also being smart that in the summer especially, you want to make sure you keep their legs fresh going into camp. So, you know, all those, like, those walkthroughs are annoying. Like, scripting them the night before was not fun. But, you know, you look back at it and now you see everyone's on the same page and everyone's held to the same standard. There's really no doubt when I look out there to throw somebody a football.
I was really impressed last year with you, just your communication. It's like, wow, that's a freshman. But it seems like, too, it's carried over and even you've grown in that. Where do you feel mm-hmm. like you've grown just in how you can communicate with guys on the sideline?
I think just the confidence. And Coach Thomas does an absolutely tremendous job making sure that I have every single answer to the test before I go into a game. And, you know, every single thing that could possibly happen in a game is talked through and explained. And, you know, when you have a coach that can do that for you, and it kind of makes it easy when you get to the game, like, all right, he said this, boom, it pops up in the game. It may look like I know exactly what I'm doing, but, you know, Coach Thomas, it prepares me, and, you know, I couldn't be more grateful for him.
You know, going back to the time that you spent, you obviously spent a lot of time with Emmett, with Dane, I know with Luke Lindenmeyer, mm-hmm. he talked to me about that last week, about the time you guys spent, how important that was. How did you find the time for everybody, you know, and yeah. in building those bonds?
Yeah, I think... It's hard to find time, especially when you're trying to build something strong. You have to spend a lot of time with each other. And I think, you know, it was more of getting guys to be with each other. So, you know, I'd bring Emmett, I'd bring Luke, I'd bring Dane, and I'd bring more people along. And, you know, they would kind of see how we interact with each other. And then kind of the newer guys of you know, would hop on, and we would just treat them the same. And as that kind of snowballs and carries over, it makes it pretty hard to kind of make a bond that you know, when things go south, that, all right, he's got my back when the chips are falling apart.
It's got to be a nightmare for opposing defenses now, the film that's out there mm-hmm. on this offense, being that you do have the trust in so many different guys. I mean, you can't key in on Dane Key, you know? I mean, or Luke Lindenmeyer. I mean, there's so many different guys right. that you got to prepare for.
Yeah, no, it's special. It's a special group of guys. They run, they catch, they jump, they do everything that they need to do at a high level. And, you know, with the guys up front protecting me and being able to keep me clean and upright all game, you know, it's pretty fun playing quarterback behind them.
You know, with the Bournemouth offensive line, too, mm-hmm. How much have you found that, being that you grew up, your dad was an offensive yeah. lineman, your uncle was an offensive yeah. lineman, you have kind of a different perspective yeah. of how to relate with those guys up front?
I do. You know, I saw it growing up, and, you know, Uncle Matthew Stafford, you know, he always used to tell me that the linemen are underappreciated and like, overworked, and I never really knew what that meant. And so I kind of asked my dad, and kind of as I grew up, I saw it. And, you know, the quarterback gets sacked, they're going to get hammered. And if the running back's not getting yards on the run plays, they're going to get hammered. But when something good happens, it's, oh, the receiver's that good, the running back's this and that. But it's a lost cause in football, I feel, to care for the guys that are lining up every single play trying to hit somebody and trying to protect you. And those guys are funny. They're probably one of the funniest group on the team, just the way they kind of operate and the way they kind of roll. So, yeah, we spend every Friday night at the movies together. We sit next to each other, and that's kind of our time to kind of take a deep breath from all the work in the week, and then when we wake up Saturday morning, it's go time.
How special is it, too, and how nice is it that you can kind of have those conversations with Donnie on the sideline? Yep. And it's like, he's the offensive line coach. It's important to have that communication, yeah. but it seems like you guys have a really good rapport in communicating on the sideline.
Yeah, well, I think first it starts at that's my blood uncle, and he knows me inside and out. He's watched me grow up, and we meet every Tuesday night over third downs and blitzes in our plan, and he's an elite level coach, so he knows the whole game plan where I can ask him questions, and if I need some help on something, he'll explain it to a way that I know and understand. So having him is a cheat code. I don't think a lot of people have that in college football. So I'm grateful for him and all the work that he does.
Yeah, it seems like just the way he can explain things. It's just it's got to be super like a luxury to be able to have and to be able to pick his brain.
Yeah, it's just like a flow. It's not him getting overexcited about, all right, I finally figured out when they're going to bring this blitz or what it is. It's just kind of that's just what it is, and we just kind of keep it moving and keep things pushing as it comes along.
So you recently started journaling?
Yeah.
What went into that? What have you learned from that?
Yeah, I got with a new trainer, and he trained Kobe and Serena and was around LeBron, and still works with Josh Allen and Saquon, and that was one of the first things that he showed me was journaling and scheduling my day out. And once I figured that out and kind of started trusting that for the 2 weeks that I was with them in Texas, it was kind of a home run from there. And I think, through the journaling, it's important to get your thoughts out and get your feelings and emotions out so it's not just weighing down on your chest. No one has to know what you're feeling, what's going on. But if you just write it out and just write what's happening, I feel like there's a great relief. And, it was pretty cool that when Dane was staying with me and was living with me, we'd sit down every night and journal, and I think that's you talk about getting close with somebody. You journal and you tell them what you're really feeling, outside of the building and in kind of a controlled environment where it's just, two people, talking.
I got to imagine just everything that's you're juggling and on your plate, that it's got to help you kind of compartmentalize some of it.
It is, and I think the scheduling piece is big, too, with kind of just planning my day out when things are happening at what time slots, just so I can understand that. All right, I have film from 2 to 3:30. This is what I want to get accomplished in it, and I'll put my phone down. I'll set a timer, and I'll just be locked in on that. I'm not worried about, all right, well, I got academics. I don't know, my schedule's already done before the day happens, and it just frees your mind up to kind of just focus on the main thing that you need to get done.
What has allowed you to be able to manage and navigate all of this that comes along with being the starting quarterback at Nebraska so well?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, my two parents raising me, I can't thank them enough. And, the main thing they always taught me was, my faith, my family, and then, always being grateful and never forgetting where you came from. And so, I think me being able to, share this experience with our fans and getting out in the community and kind of just being with the people that make this place so special, I think it's what kind of helps me, just kind of just enjoy this and not feel the pressure of everything going on. And, I'm grateful for this place. It's done a lot for my family so far. And, I got, 2-3 more years left and my brother comes here. So this place will be special for the rest of our lives.
It's funny because at Cincinnati, Kyle Crooks, our new play-by-play, was watching warm-ups, and he was making note of, Dylan just ran to greet the guys coming onto the tunnel. And I'm like, that's what he does. And I described it almost like you're like a little kid out there.
Yeah,
so, it's almost like, are Saturdays freeing for you a little bit?
Like, it is. It's like, it's like a... I don't know how to explain it. It's like when you grind all week in school. Like I remember in middle school, I used to hate school. And you get through Friday, and like in Hawaii, you'd go to the beach, and that was just the best thing ever. So like game day is similar to that for me. It's like, all right, Tuesday I did the normal down, and I did third down Tuesday night. And Wednesday I did third down. I practiced. I watched the film. Got ready for red zone. Did red zone on Thursday. Reviewed it. Got ready for 2 minute and the situations on Friday. And by the time you hit Friday night at the hotel, you hit the movie and you're like, oh, I can finally like look back through my week and like, all right, I'm ready for this game. And then Saturday is just the time for you to go show everybody what you've been preparing for. And, to your point of greeting the team, it's a it's a special moment. It's almost like a huddle. There's no like recreation of what the huddle's like. So, you know, when I kind of meet the guys at the tunnel at the carpet, there's all I see is fans, and it's like a horse with his blinders on. Like, I just see my guys coming at me to go to war, and that's a special feeling. And I don't think you don't get that, you know, in any other profession than, you know, sports.
I think too, it's like you are so locked in and you're composed, but it's almost like you can tell how much you love the game, mm-hmm. especially in warm-ups when you're just able to kind of enjoy being out there running routes, catching balls, whatever it is, just being out there with your guys.
Yeah, it's fun. Pre-game is probably my favorite part just because it's fun. There's music playing. There's people filling the stadium, and you're kind of getting ready to, you know, do something that's fun that you've been doing your whole life. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to, you know, not be composed just because – one, that's my demeanor. I'm more calm and relaxed. But also just, like I said, the amount of work that goes into getting ready for a game is a lot. So it's fun to just release it all and go put it on the field.
Why have you found your own love for this game?
Yeah, I think this just understanding that this game teaches you so much more than X's and O's and throwing the ball to the right people. But it teaches you character. It teaches you how to handle adversity. And, you know, most of all, just – making sure you keep your faith, because there's a ton of things getting thrown at you left and right, whether it's, you know, fans, fame, money, anything that, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff that gets thrown at people nowadays. But, you know, when you kind of keep the core of who you are as a person and keep your true identity, there's not much that can sway you from you know, getting thrown down that trap.
All right, let's circle back now, previewing this week. You know, being that you close the door on Akron, what are the steps that this offense needs to take going into week three, the final non-conference matchup?
Yeah, I think, you know, we look at it from preseason 1, 2, and 3 games, and, you know, this is the last one. I think the guys, we just need to understand the red zone, how important that is. You know, we don't score inside the 5 red zone for 2 weeks straight. That's pretty alarming and frustrating, to be honest, about – you know, our offense and like the big plays and all that's fun, but you know, if you can't get in the end zone from the 5-yard line, you know, you got bigger issues. So I think that's a main issue. And then, I mean, just, you know, games aren't going to be blowouts in the Big Ten. Like, it's the best conference in football, and so I think you can't relax, you can't settle, you got to keep striving, and you got to take practice in the process serious, because if you don't, they'll come back and bite you.
You know, there's no question that you evaluate yourself, and you're probably the hardest on yourself of anybody.
Right.
You don't get to where you are if you're not hard on yourself. But how do you balance that, like looking and evaluating yourself? How can I be better, but then also not beating yourself up?
Yeah, you know, you just look at it from a view of, if you fix yourself, you can help other people. And once you fix something that's wrong with you, and I think there's power in saying, all right, I messed this up, I'll fix it. That's how you can move on from it without beating yourself up. It's just taking full ownership of it. And that's some coach rules poured into our program of, all right, messed up, just say you messed up and not try to run from it, because that's kind of how you spiral away. And, you know, you mess up something else and it's just like, all right, it's just one thing after another. But just putting it to bed and moving on from it.
That's great. You like the 11 a.m. games?
I do. They're fun. Because I'm a early riser. So, I mean, even night games is like, I wake up and I kind of have to jump in the shower so I can kind of just calm back down and, you know, go back to sleep. But I do like 11 a.m. games.
Awesome. Well, what are kind of the biggest keys, I guess, for you guys as a team too? We saw the halftime speech with Coach Roll, but just overall as the entire group, what are some of the things that you guys need to do this Saturday?
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to do is understand our standard and what we play and what we put on tape matters. And I think that everybody understands that, because that's just what it is. Like, you own everything that's being put on tape. There's no, he did this wrong. Well, it's not going to say that across the ticker. Like, it's going to say interception. It's not going to say, you know, he threw it to the wrong guy, the receiver slipped down. Like, that's solely on the quarterback to make it right. And that's just an example. But I think, the guys are focused, and we're ready to kind of attack this week and, you know, handle our business and then get ready to watch Bud fight.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Appreciate your time and best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Go Big Red.
And Dylan Raiola here with us on this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.